Hello, everyone. How are you guys? I am here in the beautiful Dallas Plano area, getting coughed on by the TB ward, otherwise known as Kathy Hartman. She decided to come here with all her sickness. Let me show you her bed. She's now sleeping on the couch. I hope you guys are having a good day. I'm going to give you guys a couple minutes to come in. We are going to be doing today, I don't know if you can see her walking around back there. We're going to be doing how to be accountable to your 24-hour plan. It's like, where's Waldo? Just like you would be to a human. So I want to talk about like our 24-hour plans and making sure that we are, you know, like when we talked about accountability this month, one of the things that I really wanted to like drive home with you guys is how to be accountable to yourself. And hang on one second. I'm going to be accountable to my coffee. Hey, will you grab me my coffee over there? I haven't had my coffee yet this morning. It's amazing that I'm making sense. Is that Betsy Coffin? Sorry. Oh my God. Like, close y'all's door. Seriously. It's like the sick ward is next door. Just go cough all over my bed. There's like everything. All right. So before I get to started, I know everybody on the replay is like, oh my God, I'm not watching this, but like we've got Betsy running around with a towel on her head. Kathy hawking up along. So anyway, good morning. So this month when we focus on accountability, one of the things that I wanted to really drive home was how to be self-accountable. So one of the things that a lot of us need some accountability with is our 24-hour plans. Like we need to figure out how to take them everywhere we go. We need to figure out how, yes, mine is with me. If you're listening on the Profit Member podcast, I'm showing everyone. My damn binder is with me here in Dallas, and I will be filling all my stuff out as soon as we get off this live today. But it's really important that you guys learn how to show up for it. And so one of the things that I wanted to do was throughout the accountability program was teach you just like, you know, coming up with some triggering systems. You know, like I do mine in the mornings. I get into the habit of it. Guys, not every day is rainbows and daisies. There are plenty of times I eat off plan. I don't eat what's on the plan, all that kind of stuff. But what I'm very consistent with is making sure that the first thing that I do in the mornings is I hit that planner. And then I evaluate the day before. That is what has allowed me not only to just lose my weight, but it's allowed me to make sure that I stay consistent. So for all of you guys that ask me about maintenance, because I want you guys to think about this. You are all going to lose your weight one day. And then you're going to be like, oh my God, what do I do in maintenance? I'm in such a panic. And I'm like, you're not going to do anything different. You know what I'm going to do every day? I'm going to get up like I normally do. I'm going to make my plan for the day. I'm going to decide ahead of time in my brain, what am I going to have today? If it worked to get my weight off and it works to create a healthy lifestyle and it works to create like pride in my body and stuff, why would I want to give that up? A lot of people argue with me that you don't want to like do your plan. I'm like, just do your plan. I don't care what goes on it. Like tonight, mine's going to have wine on it. I'm going to dinner at Del Frisco's, I think it is, with somebody. I'm here in Dallas with all these life coaches. This is one of the life coaches that I've known for years and years and years. We never get to see each other. We rarely get to come to the same event. And we're going to have dinner, and I'm going to plan to have a couple of glasses of wine with her. That's fine. It's like, I want you to think about your weight loss. When you are willing to just plan what you're going to have rather than being all like, I got to be perfect. I got to lose this weight immediately. I need to like blah, blah, blah. When you drop the drama out of it and you just get to the business of doing the planning, it's a lot easier to also hold yourself accountable to it because you have a mix of realism. You have a mix of what you like. You have a mix of, you know, something that challenges you, that you look forward to the challenge. You have a mix of all of that piece. And that's all in there, and you won't mind showing up for it. The other back end that I really talked to you guys about this last month in the accountability, mastering accountability, was dropping the verbal beat down when you don't follow it. The real key to being accountable to your 24-hour plans, guys, is no more like silly-ass bullshit that goes along with it. If you, like, this is the things that I wanted you guys to think about. There's, like, three really key pieces to showing up for your plan like you would any other human. So I broke them down for you guys, and I want to talk to you about it. The first one is, you know, you have to define the relationship you want to have with your 24-hour plan. A lot of you need to define the one you have currently, and it's probably going to be piss poor. You know, some of the words that I wrote down that I really like are, like, I respect my 24-hour plan. Like, I don't talk bad about it. I'm very honest with it. Like, if it's another human being, I'm very honest. I'm not going to lie to my 24-hour plan. I'm also going to be very consistent with it, just like I would with Logan. I'm going to show up regularly for it. So thinking about, like if this was just another human that you were going to have a really good relationship with, define the one you have now and how are you treating that plan, and define the one you want. Because it's like a marriage. There's going to be ups and downs, but most of the time you're going to be with that plan a lot. You might as well get to where you like it. And you have to cultivate that relationship. Number two, like, I want you to think about, how often are you two having a meeting? Like, me and my 24-hour plan, we have a meeting every morning. Like, as my husband calls it, it's the stand-up meeting. He has one at work with his employees every day. They have a stand-up every single day. They have 15 minutes where no one sits, but they update, like, here's what I got accomplished yesterday, which is very much like what we do in our 24-hour plan. Here's the things I plan to get done today, which is very much like what I've put in that 24-hour plan. Here's what I plan to eat. And what obstacles might get in my way? Do that. Like, have a stand-up meeting with yourself today. Here's what I'm planning on doing. Here's what I got done yesterday. Here's the things that might get in my way today and how I'm going to handle it. Boom, boom, and done. Like, seriously. Imagine how much freedom in your life you can have if every day you had a quick stand-up meeting with yourself just about what you're going to eat and the obstacles that might come up for the day and how you're just going to handle them. Like, I really want you guys thinking about that. So number one is defining the relationship. You know, like, what are the, like, what kind of relationship do you want to be having with your 24-hour plan? Number two is, how often are you willing to meet? How long is the meeting? Where are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? Like, I meet with mine every day. It takes me about 3 to 4 minutes. I'm talking about let me write about my day part. Not even the planning the food part. You can do that in less than 2 minutes. So I just make it so simple. And then the third one, this is the key. This is where you're going to really know whether or not you're going to be accountable to your 24-hour plan or not. Are you willing to let yourself down or not? Like, seriously, I want you guys to really think about it. Like, when it comes to your 24-hour plan, are you willing to let yourself down about it or not? I'm not. I just do it. I'm willing to be disappointed in Corinne sometimes and how she shows up for what she did plan, but I'm totally willing to go through some disappointment, some self-examination, a few hard times, to also to be able to experience the pride, the consistency. You know, like, I've been maintaining my weight for like a boss for a long time. It's because I never take it out of my sights. I don't sit around like a lot of you when you lose weight. And I want you guys to think about the last time you lost weight. And the ones who, like, if you're just getting started, how much of your mental energy are you spending on thinking about your weight, thinking about your food, thinking about if you're going to be on plan, thinking about this, thinking about that? This is why I love the planning. I don't have to think about all that stuff all the time. I get it down right here. I'm willing to show up for it. It frees me up to think about other things. And if you're constantly consumed with your weight and what you're eating and all this other stuff, now when you're first starting, yes, like, all of that stuff is like, so like, you're going to be thinking about it a lot. But once you've been doing it a while, guys, you should be freeing up some mental space. Shouldn't be thinking about it all the time. If you are, you need to ask yourself, why? Why am I choosing to think about it so much? What is driving this? If it's fear, we know that's something you have to work on. Now, if you're like me, who ends up thinking about other people's stuff all the time. It might be because it's your job. But I don't sit around and think about Corinne's food and Corinne's weight and Corinne's this and Corinne's that all the time. I think about theory about what I want to teach and stuff. That's so much different. But I want you to just ask yourself, are you willing to like never let yourself down again? It doesn't mean that you have to show up perfectly for it. Letting yourself down means you come to your journal, you look at your food, you didn't eat on the plan. You can be disappointed in yourself, but are you going to beat yourself up? That's going to be the surefire way of driving a wedge in the relationship between you and your plan. I want you to think about your marriage. Every time you talk to your husband, every time you talk to your wife, if every time you, like your kids, your mother, whoever, any relationship you value, if every time you showed up and all you got was a verbal beatdown, how much would you show up for that relationship? 100%? 50%? Would you leave? And we wonder why we don't want to look at a piece of paper. You know, this paper is not bothering us. This paper is not doing that to us. That's our own brain. That is the part you have control over. All right, so the three things for being accountable to your 24-hour plan, just like you wouldn't be to another human, is number one, I want you to define the relationship you currently have and the one you want. It's very important. Y'all can do this with lots of different things too. I do this with humans. I do this with my business. I do this with all kinds of things. With my body. I do it with a lot of things. We do it with our finances. All kinds of stuff. Number two, how often are you having your meeting? How long? When are you doing it and where? If you missed the beginning, go back and listen to where I talked about my husband and his stand-up meeting. You guys should be having a little quick meeting with yourself and your plan every single day. And then are you willing to not let yourself down anymore? Are you willing to just keep showing up? Are you willing to give up beating yourself up over mistakes? Are you willing to just be there? Even when some days when it feels like, guys, some days it's going to feel amazing. You're going to look at it and you're like, I am on fucking fire. Will you look at me? And you're going to write about being so proud of yourself and stuff. Don't miss those opportunities because of the few days that you're not on your A game and you're going to experience some disappointment. Disappointment's fine. What I don't want you guys doing is shame, despair, and hopelessness. It's a whole nother realm of bullshit. But it's okay to sometimes go in there and just be like, that was not my best self yesterday. My best self, though, would be doing what? How would she start approaching this? What would she would have done differently yesterday? What are some of the ways that she would have thought about the exact same situation? If she was feeling an urge in that moment and it felt so intolerable in her skin, but she was determined to lose the weight, how much longer could she have sat with it? What else could she have told herself? Really thinking through those things. Don't just say, well, she wouldn't have ate. That's not a solution. If just wouldn't have ate works, we'd all have quit doing that every time we were tempted by the Worth It cookies a long time ago. All right, so Amy has a question. I think she's the only one. Shit just got real this week and the scale showed it. I'm rewatching, no BS, but do I need to do anything else? I have a Marco Polo group that is amazing, but I know me, and this is when I have the risk of getting in my own head. You're just going to have to like get into your head. Here's what I want you to do, Amy. I want you to actually get in there. And I want you to allow yourself to have a shit show on a piece of paper and let every bit of it out. Judge yourself. Just go nuts about it. One, it gets it out of your head. It's like, it's in there. We might as well put it on paper. Otherwise, if it's just in there and not on the paper, it's doing the damage without any kind of productive work to go along with it. Then I want you to read it and I want you to just say, I don't think any of this is true. This is all the things that I just say to myself. I might want to believe it's true. I may want to do all that stuff, but it's not. The truth could also be, and I want you to rewrite it with what, rather than saying the shit got real this week, it's like, what if it was just like, this week, I'm noticing these things are starting to happen. So what do I want to do with this? What do I need to brainstorm with my Marco Polo group? Like, that's what you need to be talking to them about. So I would write all that stuff down, and then I would rewrite the story of, like, if all of this was just, like, drama, what could I also be telling myself about this week? This week taught you a lot of things. Most of you think this week teaches you that you're some kind of fucked up individual or something. It's like, no, it's teaching you exactly where the next steps in your work is. It's easy to do P&P in the beginning. The next step to keep it making it easy is to notice when your brain wants to interject with your bullshit and be like, all right, so the next steps are, now it's time to work on this part. That's all that happens, guys, when you're overeating, when you're breaking your plans, when you're doing that stuff. It's like, now here's the next part of weight loss. Let's see. Did anybody else have any other questions before I get off here? Oops. Let's see. I don't think so. Looks like we're pretty good. Hey, good morning, Leslie. Love your 24-hour, loving her 24-hour plan. Let's see. All right, I guess that's it. Y'all, it's a quickie today. Y'all have a good one. I'm here in Dallas. Here's a question. Let me tell y'all what I'm doing, and then I'll get in there. I'm in Dallas. I'm at a two-day thing where I'm going to be with all kinds of life coaches and Brooke and learning. We're going real late at night and all that kind of stuff. So I will be here making sure that I get more goodies to bring back. We're doing business stuff, but it's going to be stuff that I can apply to P&P to make the tribe even better and stuff. So I'm really excited about it. Amy or Allison says, I'm with Amy. I'm definitely in the shit gets real stage. I feel like I'm falling off the wagon and disappointing myself by failing again. But I want you to see this, Allison. Your thought is, I'm disappointing myself by failing. You've got it all described as your overeats, as this is where I'm failing. Your brain is going to want to go back to, this is what I've always done. This is how it's always been for me. And it's like, that's not true. We always want to believe it's true. All it is this is the behavior of now. Do not allow yourself to compare it to what you used to do. It's a different scenario. You have different tools now. You're a different age. You're different everything. So what I want you to do is I want you to pull apart the places where you say, I'm disappointing myself. That's fine. You don't have to be thrilled with the mistakes, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask yourself, how can I learn from this? What are the lessons I'm supposed to be taking so I can go to the next level? That is all that's happening. Guys, when you first start, you learn the basics and stuff. And then, your thoughts are going to change. Your life starts coming back into play. And so your brain's going to be like, oh, let's go back to our old habits now. We've done this so many times. Let's just go back to our old habits now. It's like, no, let's continue to keep our good habits. Let's continue to keep things going. It's like, if I'm overeating, I'm going to be doing an overeating worksheet. If I am noticing I'm not doing my 24-hour plan, then I just need to double down on getting it done. I need to ask myself, what bullshit excuse am I telling myself? And then you need to argue the contrary. Don't just believe everything your brain says. If you had time to do your 24-hour plan when you first started, and then after about 6 weeks, suddenly you notice yourself saying, we don't really have time. We're pretty good. We kind of know what we're doing. We don't really have that time and everything. And then you notice overeats start coming into play. Go back to doing the 24-hour plan and say, look, that is some bullshit. I always have time to do it. That's all there is to it. I also have to be very realistic. Do not think that because you were eating super healthy for 6 weeks and then for 3 weeks, you kind of go on and off plan and stuff. You have to go back to realistic. That is not going backward. That's going to the step that's going to take you to the next one. Guys, just get realistic. No one gains weight because they're being realistic. It's when you guys are not being realistic is the problem, because then you're breaking plans. Then you're eating out of reaction. Then you're sad and then you gobble down some food and stuff. That is weight problems. Learning to plan and be realistic and gaining some momentum and then amping it up a little bit, it's not the problem. All of you, when you're planning realistically and you're very consistent with it, when you don't see a weight loss, then we know it's like, okay, so now where do we need to level up a little? Where do we need to make some realistic tweaks? The purpose of it is to show you what's going to work and then how to move yourself forward. Oh, shit. Comments keep going crazy. Can you give me a thought or pattern interrupt for fear of missing out? This is the best cure for fear of missing out. Like, let's say that your friends go out and you're going to go out with them, but you're going to be the one who is not drinking. A lot of times what we do is we overly obsess about what we're missing out on. What I want you to do is I want you to write for a long time on everything that you won't miss about when you were going out and drinking or when you were going out and eating, like the aftermath. What are all the things that you're gaining by not doing it? Like, you have to allow your brain some time to indulge and explore in the other side of the story. It is going to only want to tell you, like, what you're missing out on versus you consciously and deliberately telling it on what you're gaining from not participating. And make what you're missing, like, let's say they bring in free food. And you've got, like, oh my God, everybody's going to be sitting around having a good time eating the free food and blah, blah, blah. You need to tell yourself, like, I like to believe that the food is free. The food is anything but free. Here's how it costs me. It costs me in my relationship with myself. It costs me in my pants. It costs me on the scale. It costs me drama when I have to work around not feeling really good about myself when I don't follow my plan. Like, you have to, like, have different conversations. Does it matter if we do our 24-hour plan on paper or on the computer? I don't think it matters. It's whatever works best for you. Hey, Robin. I love the 24-hour plan. It goes out the window on the weekend. Tonight, I'm going to do a 24-hour Saturday and Sunday so I can just do it and not think about it. Good for you. You're probably, Robin, going to need to also practice realistic planning on the weekend. I see this happen a lot. Some of us are just really good about our healthy, like, we have a very healthy identity Monday through Friday. Woohoo! Here we are. We're so great. And then on Saturday and Sunday, we have our relaxed, our fun, our party, we have this whole other identity. And what we do is we try to make a realistic plan that doesn't match that identity. Like, I would probably also get into the habit of creating the new identity that you want to be on the weekend. Like, you want to be the healthy, fun version of you. And what does that look like? She's somewhere in between the one that's just like having a party and the one who is the Monday through Friday girl. So kind of like bridging the gap there. And then how can you like make baby steps to that? I had a large loss today. If you are going to have drama about a large loss, I'm going to die, Susan. Why do I doubt myself when I have a lot of success on the scale? It is the same feeling as when I gain. The scale is not triggering it. You need to find your core belief. Your core belief probably has something along the lines of, like, I don't know if I really can lose this, whatever that's going to be. When you weigh, it's just like that core belief is the problem. It's not necessarily the large loss. So what I would quit telling myself is, when I have a large loss or when I have success, I have doubt. It's more like when you experience certain things, it's triggering a thought that causes doubt. The reason why this is important, guys, you always want to hold the thought responsible. Otherwise, what happens if you continually say, it's because of my success, it's because of my scale losses, it's because of this, that I feel bad, then you're going to work against yourself to not have those anymore. So you need to ask yourself, success means what? What do I really believe about my ability to lose weight? What do I really believe about my ability to keep it off? Am I doing enough work on understanding that this is my time? This is when it's going to happen. I'm in this for the long haul. Like, a lot of times when we have doubt and stuff, we need to do a lot of work on changing the inner conversation with ourselves around our believability. Because then when you do experience success, it's going to trigger your brain's like, but we're not really successful. I don't know why we're even like, you should never believe that. Because, at the core of it, we're just going to gain it all back. And so it's a conscious, deliberate practice. And that means, guys, writing it down all the time about, I'm willing to believe these things about my weight loss. I'm willing to believe these things about me never losing my weight again. Even if you say it out loud and record it and then listen to it some, drown yourself in your new beliefs and do not give me some bullshit. I'm like, but I don't believe it. It's like lip service. It is lip service for now. guess what? It's never going to like sink into your soul and your heart until you pay some lip service. If you don't change the conversation fucking stays the same. I mean, y'all think I'm some kind of Einstein over here. I'm just stating the truth. Like, I don't think you got to be super smart to have that conclusion. Oh my gosh, I am telling you guys, I did something to my back on this side. It is like in the jack. We have to see if we got some Doterra people around here. Give me some oils on this thing. Beth, this is so necessary for me this week. After being stuck for a few weeks, I had a few challenges and used those as excuses to not try the rest of the week. Today, I'm kicking my own ass back in gear. Thank you for your words. Definitely. And guys, use the weekend as a very good opportunity to, like, just plan. A lot of you always want to wait till Monday, so then you repeat this nasty pattern of, I start hard on Monday, I give up on myself in the middle of the week, I kick the can down the road to the next Monday, and you're just wasting your life. It's like, what is the harm in just creating that realistic plan today? I don't care if it's donuts, then nachos, and then all the margaritas tonight. I would much rather see you force yourself to write that shit down and look at it and stuff than to just be like, I'll just think about all this on Monday, and then turn a deaf ear to yourself. Quit turning a deaf ear. Debbie, is there a tracker for the overeating workshop? We created a generic tracker, so you guys can just use that one. It's in, if you go to pnptribe.com, go to the toolkit where the worksheets are. The habit tracker thing is there. You can just use that one for every single month. We made sure that it would just go from month to month. Judith, be willing to be the one thing you can count on in this life. That is the absolute truth. And then Lisa says she loves my jacket. Take a wild guess. Boston proper. And then Abby, no overeating at night for the last two nights. Thanks for the coaching, Grin. You are very welcome, Abby. Very proud of you. I hated that we couldn't get your camera on, but that was such a good call. All right, guys, that's it. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go ahead and head downstairs, and I'm probably going to have to take 1,000 selfies. There's a lot of the podcast listeners in the Life Coach School, apparently. I went to the gym this morning and got caught 3 times, and I didn't brush my teeth this morning like an asshole, but I didn't want to be a jerk and like be brushing my teeth while everybody was sleeping. We have only 4 people of us in this room. So just know the queen always is, she rolls roomies just like you guys do. Like, we got a roll away. We got Kathy on the couch, and we got me and Betsy in the king size bed in there. So I always demand that I get to sleep in a bed at least. Especially because my back's jacked. I couldn't imagine if I'd been sleeping on that couch. So you guys have a good one, and I will see you later. I'll see y'all on Sunday at 2:00 for coaching. So bye, y'all.